Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier podcast of LRMonline.com. My name is Nick, and I'm joined by always as Tanya. How are you doing, Tanya?
Hi. Today is Sunday, but by the time you listen to it, it'll be Monday. You're welcome.
Thank you for the weekly checkup to remind us all where we're at or where we're not at. So this week, we thought we'd watch a Netflix movie without knowing a lot about it, just because it stars Thor, God of Thunder, Chris Hemsworth himself, and it's produced by the Russo brothers, but actually at the end it said it was written by Joe Russo. And it also said he did the story, which is interesting. And there were other ones listed too, but IMDb only has him listed.
But they didn't direct it, right?
No. Let me look who directed. I have it pulled up. Sam Hargrave. Like with 21 Bridges, they produced it. Robert Jones was not a fan of that one. And I think it was 21 Bridges. But so they actually, one of them actually wrote it, which I didn't know, based off a comic book, which I also didn't know was based off a comic book or graphic novel. It's based off a graphic novel. So obviously not a superhero graphic novel. Which is interesting because they work closely with their writers, but they haven't written any of their Marvel films. So I didn't know they were writers. If you haven't seen the trailer, it's the one where Chris Hemsworth is just kicking a lot of ass in India to save a drug lord's son. And that's about the movie. Tanya, would you like to give your spoiler-free impression?
You know what? I'd actually like to hear your spoiler-free impression because I kind of gave you mine and I just got a lull back from you. So I was actually curious as to what you thought about it.
It was fine.
All right, that's fair.
It was, it was full of action, but it didn't have too much of a point or didn't get too deep at all, really. It was like, oh, I mean, this is from the trailer and this is from the beginning of the movie. It's like, oh, he had a son who he misses. Now he wants to get this kid out for that reason more than the money. I don't know. It was action packed. It had David Harbour in it.
It did. Random out of nowhere.
Yeah, he came in really late, but
it didn't stay long.
No. So what were your spoiler-free impressions?
I thought if you like action and you like Bollywood, then this is all you, man. I did not enjoy it. I thought it was how you just mentioned that, you know, he's saving this drug lord's son because he misses his own son. When I tell you that was a throwaway line, like his entire motivation or drive for going this extra mile for this drug lord's kid was just, let me back up. He did a phenomenal job delivering that throwaway line. And it was the one moment in the movie where I said, he's an incredible actor and I hope he gets more parts that are worthy of him. Ba-dum-bum. I'm just really sad that has he been in anything since MIB that I'm possibly forgetting?
Not that I can think of. He's been in lots of flops before MIB.
Jeez, man. It's bumming me out because he's talented and funny and apparently he can do drama and he's good looking. There's really no reason why this, you know, very handsome white man can't get his shit together with his career. But I don't think this is going to do him any favors. Just to kind of illustrate, the other day I started an anime. I don't even remember what the name of it was. And my guy comes in and he likes anime too. And he says, well, what's it about? I said, it's the most basic plot line you can possibly think of. He said, somebody's parents got killed and they want revenge. Yup. He had no point of reference for what that anime was. So if you ask a person or if somebody asks you, should I watch Extraction? And you say it's the most basic plot line you can possibly think of. Some buff white guy is just shooting up shit and rescuing somebody. Yup. There's really nothing added to this. There's nothing extra. Other than the fact that, like, now there are Bollywood criminals, which I have different feelings about that, but we can talk about that.
Bollywood was an interesting comparison.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah. I don't even know how to say that. The action was really cool. It was just nonstop action. It was my problem. Like, it was really violent and, like, quick, and, like, it looked really well choreographed, and it was hard to tell when they had a stuntman in there or not, because he would just, like, kill, like, 10 people in a room with, like, a knife. Or like
but
one
still
person's
use
gun.
Shaky cam. Like I didn't understand why they use shaky cam because like you know how we talked about this on I forget what movie but how I think Jackie Chan was griping about how in American movies they shake the camera and they do all these cuts because they don't want to show that the person doesn't know how to move. The camera would stay on his body, so he was doing all the movements and all the choreography, but it's like, okay, why are you shaking? You're just making me fuck. I'm not even a person who gets nauseous at motion, but it doesn't seem to, it doesn't tell me anything about the story. It's not adding anything. It's just weird. And it reminded me of how when I was growing up, there were all these like Mississippi movies and slave movies, and everybody was always sweaty. Like that was so distracting that everybody, even the people who had on nice clothes, like the really like high up drug lords, everybody was just fucking sweaty and grimy. And then the more he got bloody and dirty, it was just like, ah, I can just smell it from here. It just smells like mud, body. And I mean, I guess it smells like rescue. It smells like, you know, heroism, but heroism Courage. Does not smell good.
Hey, at least he got to be Australian.
He did. He got to be
for Australian. A movie. Yeah, it was refreshing.
That's very cool.
And my roommate who watched it with me just noticed that he's like, there's a theme of water in it. I'm like, I guess. I mean, the kid jumps into the water at the end.
Say, is it a theme when it's like,
I
don't even want to say hit you over the head. They almost basically drown you with it. Like he jumps into a pool at the end of the movie. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? That should make me feel good because somebody got in some water. Somebody got to feel cool after all this like sweaty heat running stuff. Somebody actually got to feel. I guess that's the benefit of being a drug lord, son. You get to swim in a pool and be clean and stuff. So, yeah.
I feel like I need to take a shower now because I haven't yet today. But now I really want to take a shower.
Same.
Talking about eating sweaty people.
Roll out of bed. Filling my jammies. It's also I should preface. It's morning where I am. I'm on the West Coast. Anyway, yeah.
It's slightly afternoon. Slightly. I got up for this.
I was just not super impressed. And the thing that Nick lulled at, he said he watched it and he had stuff to say. And I said, well, I fell asleep on it, so I have to watch it again. Yeah. I fell asleep actually right after he gave his speech about his son.
Oh,
and it was
gotcha.
Weird because I was super. No, or no, he was in the room with the guy that you just named.
David Harbour.
Yeah, he was in the. I fell asleep when he was in the room with David Harbour.
You made my split way through the movie.
I did. I got halfway. I did good. It was a good run. But I had to like. I took my nap and I got up and I guess I gotta watch this shit again. I can't do that. Come in half-assed like I usually have been doing as of late. And I couldn't tell if it's just because it's me or if I was bored. But I did write a note maybe like 10 minutes before I fell asleep. I'm bored. This is a vlog and I'm bored. So yeah
I wasn't expecting a lot more, but I was hoping for more. Like this is probably the reason I don't watch most of those Netflix movies, like Six Underground, you know, any of the ones that advertises. I think
Michael Bay,
this is before,
not gonna interest me at all.
Well, I mean just in general, but they have one with like a movie star, like I'm like, hey, I'll watch that when that comes out, and then I never watch it. But it's podcast topic, it's quarantine time still.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I guess.
And I imagine a lot of people are gonna watch it just because he's in it. Just
yeah.
To, you know, check him out. He's a. I would say he's a pretty decent draw now.
Yeah, especially like, I mean, it may have still been a box office flop, but if you're at home, like, why not go watch Chris Hemsworth kick some ass until he plays Thor again?
Yeah. Fall asleep, wake up, and keep doing that until you see the whole thing.
And then, I'll bring up what you were gonna say about the Bollywood thing. I think I know where you're headed.
They,
I assume some white savior complex.
Well, yeah, that, you know what, that's usually the first thing that sticks out to me. But when I looked at the roster of names in the movie, I got the sense that like, no, maybe this is just their movie, but they wanted him in it, which that's fair. Like people were griping about that Matt Damon movie.
Oh yeah, The Great Wall.
Yeah, and they was like, no, it's a Chinese movie. They asked me to come to China and do the movie. So that doesn't really, I don't really think of that as like whitewashing or white savior if the group in the country asks you to be there. Whatever their issues with colonialism are none of my business. If they feel like they need to have a white man to come rescue them, that's not for me to talk shit about. So I didn't hold on to that. So that wasn't really what bugged me. It was more of actually very superficial things. I just personally... I love foreign films, but I tend to draw the line at things like Korean dramas, like the ones where it's always like a couple can't be together because their mom doesn't approve and they're from different parts of life and it's always the same plot and very melodramatic. Telenovelas, I don't think I've ever watched one of them because they all look like soap operas. And so like I've not seen anything. I've seen a couple of Indian movies that were just very greedy and had that kind of really depressing European feel.
and I'm blanking on the name for one of them. It's like one about a woman who got kidnapped and was held in a box by this guy and had to be rescued by this other kidnapped victim. And it's actually kind of famous, and I'm sure somebody, if you know, if people cared enough to email me, they would yell the name at me. But for the most part, Bollywood movies seem very they seem melodramatic. Whenever I read about how Indians themselves feel about it, they almost talk about how Bollywood pushes this kind of propaganda of like light skin favoritism and classism and all this kind of stuff. And I don't want to get in the fucking middle of that shit. So nothing about Bollywood ever appealed to me. And then I look at this movie where everybody's like they kind of feel melodramatic and also they're not intimidating to me. And I was trying to wrap my brain. Another thing I was trying to wrap my brain around. How do I say this without sounding super shallow and bigoty? But I guess I just have my already American stereotypes of what criminals are, and I don't have like a predisposed criminal for Indian people. So I wasn't intimidated. I wasn't scared. And it's like, okay, if you're going to be a villain, you either need to be scary or you need to be hot, or like Killmonger and be both. But like, I didn't think Loki was scary, but I thought he was hot.
And is that the key?
And Hannibal Lecter is hot. He's scary as fuck. So, you know, like it needs to be one or the other. And so, like, I mean, I just went down this list of, okay, you know what? White villains that are scary in movies are usually British and creepy. And the stereotype of black criminals, they're thugs and they're gangsters. And Mexicans are cartel. And Middle Easterns are terrorists. And I was thinking, like, okay, what are Indian people? And I didn't have one. But it definitely wasn't drug lord. So... me and my stupid, like, wow, that it really, my stupid American brainwashing for what a criminal is, which I completely am personally against. I think tropes are lazy, but I didn't have a go-to watching this movie that could suck me into it effectively enough. They just look like Indian guys in nice clothes with no air conditioning. That's all I saw.
It's good that we know, like, what your standards are for a villain.
Stereotype part, the hot or scary.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I'm doubling down on that. That is 100%. And other, you should adopt that too.
Like, it's Tanya's rule of villainry.
Or who was the chick from Ragnarok? Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Hot and scary.
Yeah, scary.
See, it's effective. You remember it.
I think I would remember it anyway. She's a Marvel villain, but yeah.
Oh, do you remember the dude from fucking Iron Man 2? Not hot, not scary.
Justin Hammer? Hell yeah.
No, he's great. I love fucking Sam Rockwell. No, the other guy, the one with the stupid whips.
My blood. That guy?
I want my blood. Exactly.
Rourke?
Yes.
Only because it's a Marvel film. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Exactly. My point stands.
God, I feel like we need to check in on more movies, but oh well.
I mean, yeah, the pathos about his son having lymphoma, it was like, wow, that's it? That's all you're going to say about that? And these crazy blurry flashbacks. So yeah, if you're really not looking for anything complicated, you know, I say all that to say, if you're not looking for anything complicated, you're kind of a fan of like really over the top ish Bollywood movies, this is fine. This is totally fine. Like nothing about it was bad. It's just nothing about it didn't give me anything extra.
Could have been 30 minutes shorter, probably, because it was just like action.
It was like a half.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours. I was like, oh. Like an hour in, I thought we were almost done, and I paused, and I was like, "Oh, it's not bad, but it doesn't need to be this long."
That is true. This is the last thing I'm going to say about this. Even if you're a person who thinks that action movies have nothing to add, John Wick, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's something I would have compared it to. Probably my parents were asking what it was like. I said it was violent and their stuff. I'm like, "Oh, was it like gratuitous violence?" And I'm like, "I guess if John Wick and those kind of movies are, then yes. Otherwise, it seems like kind of the norm right now."
Yeah. You can stylize that and make it entertaining if you wanted to.
Yeah, I didn't really style. I kind of kept it, I don't know, remind me more of like, especially with the camera, like Black Hawk Down or something. Not as good, not quality-wise, but it's kind of the look. But the final thing about this movie, is Chris Hemsworth alive? Or did the kids see things? At the end, when he comes out of the water, there's a guy who's not in focus, looks a lot like Chris Hemsworth watching him swim.
Oh, God, I didn't even catch that part. I think as soon as he jumped in the pool, I turned it off. No, he's dead. Oh, my God.
I think it's just, I don't think it's implying that he's alive. I think it's just like, oh, the kid thinks it looks like him for a moment. At least I hope so. Towards the end, I'm like, you better die after this. It better not be one of the things where they, like, save him last minute. Or, like, we see him drop into the water dead, and it's like, oh, but we don't see a body. So it's like, it better not be a comic book thing where he shows up later all patched up.
Jeez.
Especially when the villains are looking down to make sure he's dead. It's like, hopefully he doesn't just throw a grenade up on the bridge and jump out of the water.
Yeah, wasn't he, like, shot and stabbed by the... Am I misremembering? Like, he had very serious injuries, yeah, even for an action dude.
Yeah, he was dead. If it's not a comic book movie, he's dead. If it was a comic book movie, he'd be dead until the next one. That's kind of wounds.
I mean, and who knows how far he was from the nearest trauma center in Mumbai. So, you know, it's a big place. It's a big area.
Cool. How are you doing? I know you've been, since our discussion last week, you've started watching some Westworld again.
I did. And I finished season two, and now I'm into season three.
Nice.
And I think that's just, you know what? It's I'm having the same experience I did when I first started watching the second season. Like, I think to me, just in my personal taste, mm-hmm. I find it very uneven. And I find the episodes that I'm not enjoying are the ones that, like, I've lost the plot and I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. Like, I don't, you know, like, and I don't know.
Like, if the that's solo character ones, like one that would focus on Bernard or something.
Actually, no, those are the ones that are my favorite.
I
like
know,
the one, the one they did about the Native American guy was really good.
Yeah.
The one they did with the geisha was really good. And there was another one that I'm forgetting. I think it was the one that was before the geisha. So the ones that actually get buried into somebody's motives, I love those. I love backstory. That's like they show you another side of a person in comparison to the context you saw them in. And they do it in a way that changes it and subverts it, but it's not cheap. Like, I thought all the stuff they did with the Native American was not cheap at all. And I absolutely appreciated it. And so those are fine because that makes sense to me. But once they start getting into, like, the little personality balls, like, I think it lost me when Dolores was in Tessa Thompson's body. Like, once that happened, I was just like, I don't know who's fucking doing what, and I really don't care. And now I guess, like, now in season three, they're out in the world, and suddenly Robot Girl is also a ninja. I get that robots are supposed to be extra doubly strong, but, like, where does she get, I mean, did she download fighting skills like the Matrix? Like, why does she all of a sudden know how to just murk people, like, it turned into Terminator. It turned into a very shitty Terminator. And so all the episodes I didn't like were either ones where the plot suddenly became so convoluted I couldn't follow it, or it looked like Terminator. And I was just like, this is just cheap. This should be like five episodes a piece.
I thought you would like season three better. So I think it picks up quite a bit.
I mean, I like watching
Aaron Paul.
I was gonna call him Jesse Pinkman. I like Aaron Paul because he's such a good actor. But even still, like, I'm just like the scene with him at the bank, I thought was interesting, but I couldn't tell you anything else that's going on. So what'll probably happen is I'll probably start everything over from season one and then just, like, see if that grabs me again. Because watching it all higgledy-piggledy like this is just, like, all of a sudden I'm just like, there's nobody next to me to ask, why'd he do that? Who is that? Let me know.
You need a watching partner.
Yes. I need somebody to pay attention so that when I don't pay attention, I can ask annoying questions like, who is this? And it's, you know, when I don't have that, I'm just frustrated. So
I almost feel that a little bit. Like, I love Westworld and I'm into it, but if I'm a little bit sleepy on Sunday night when I watch it, I'll be like, shit, I have to rewatch it again on Monday because I don't remember just one detail. It's gonna throw me off next episode.
Like in all seriousness, they're already out in the world. They seem to have access to all this money. What's the goal now? What are they trying to do?
Dolores is trying to destroy mankind. And how are you all the way caught up then, or is part of
I think I got to episode no I think actually last the last episode I saw was them at the bank.
Okay, well, that's all about the big circle thing.
So like Magneto, like, we've evolved and they need to go,
or like, no, it like keeps them all in, oh, I mean, that'd be the circle that's controlling everyone's lives, the computer program that Ciroc or whatever has, the French guy.
That guy. I have no idea. I have no idea what that is. So, yeah, I'll probably have to start it all over. Yeah, but the promise of good episodes like I saw in season two will make me stick to it because I wasn't expecting to enjoy those episodes as much as I did.
Like, the one that stands out the most to me early on, they would have seen it. I really liked the second episode of season three, which is the one about Bernard and Stubbs. And we're just like, Stubbs is still alive because he botched his suicide and he's a host. And you're like, oh, more hosts.
I remember what episode it was. It was that guy who was in that little that room, and he would wake up and have his drink, and then the man in black would come in when he was young and whatever. Like, I guess he was some sort of experiment, but he didn't realize he was in a time loop.
That's my favorite episode of the whole series.
Yeah, it's so good. Just because I mean, you know how I am about comparing shit to Twilight Zone. That is a Twilight Zone ass episode. Because I did not see it coming, probably because I wasn't paying close enough attention to what was going on and I didn't know who this man was. And then when the guy comes in and he's explaining to him, like, yeah, well, how long have I been in here? It's like, oh my God, that shit is so crazy. Just like, and it just reminds me of like the things that initially interested me in psychology, like the things your brain can do to you. Like there are people who really live like that, who have no concept of time because some part of their brain has malfunctioned. And just, you know, like we get the passage of time from the man in Black's point of view, and just, you know, oh, spoiler, how he shot his daughter, because reality is just doesn't exist. Nobody has any concept that nobody's tethered to reality, including the man who's supposed to have all the answers. So, I mean, that part of it gravitated to me. But I guess, oddly enough, like the drama of what their motives are. Like, I don't like, who's the chick who plays Dolores? Just, you know.
I remember Rachel Wood. Yeah.
Her clothes are really slick and she's doing a great job. It's just, I guess I don't dig her point. Like her whole transition and arc and stuff.
I don't
care about what she's trying to do.
I like that you brought up my favorite episode that we know from season two, and you liked it so much too. Those are my absolute favorite scenes, are each time he comes in for the fidelity test.
Yeah.
It's like so fucked up because I had so many theories about it and they didn't address any of them. Because I would watch the episode over and over again and have season two theories, and they never addressed it. But I thought he was poisoning him with the alcohol each time. Because then they kept saying, oh, he was doing fine until you visited him. So like, I feel like every time he's been like giving him something that's causing him to malfunction. Or it's simpler than that, and it's just, here we are discussing a two-year-old episode. Or it's just something as simple as seeing William and hating him so much.
Yeah, he's just emotionally, for lack of a better word, triggering to him. And just seeing him brings up some sort of extra thing in his brain, like some sort of emotion.
Yeah. And yeah, William, you know, loves it as it gives him a chance to burn his father-in-law as a host alive every time he visits him.
Oh, and that, like that last one, he was like, no, let him go. We want to see what happens when he, like, what? Yeah. Wow.
It's messed up. That's why I love that part so much.
His cruelty is so, it never gets to the point of cartoony because he hurt this dude with his inaction. So there's something about that's not like over the top. He's just like, fuck him, leave him there. It's like, what the fuck? This guy is like tearing this room to pieces and other people are watching, like not knowing what the fuck to do. So just watching him, like if anything, I'm invested in watching him kind of disintegrate because he has that shit coming. He's trash. Or Cela Ward, like the stuff with his wife. And how, you know, she was like, I'm the only person who sees you and I'm an addict, so nobody pays attention to me, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really dug the kind of focused in on one person episodes. They're really good. Except I had this moment, I tweeted about it, when the geisha lady was dancing and it was to Wu-Tang. And it was just like, am I going quarantine crazy? Like, have I been in the house too long? Like, have I finally snapped? What the fuck is she dancing to? That doesn't even sound Japanese. And so, like, I'd Google, and yes. So I guess the guy who does their music was the same guy who did Game of Thrones music. And he's just, I already was kind of thinking he was a very talented person. So that was very much on purpose. I was not my mind. Not that time, anyway.
Westworld's really been cool. And it continues to be cool. They'll present a famous song in a different genre.
Yeah.
Like, the first season was all about the player piano. Yeah. It's fun. I don't know. I still dig it. I'm going to... new episode on tonight, which was on last night for all y'all listening when this comes out.
Oh, and they said they're doing the season four. That's just so funny to me. Like, I feel like I loved every episode in the first season, but two and three are just so uneven.
Yeah, it's interesting. It has changed a lot since the first season, obviously, because their biggest, smartest trick that you can't repeat is you not knowing it's different timelines the first time you watch it.
Yeah, or not knowing that Bernard is a robot.
Yeah, all that stuff, like revealing hosts for the first... Because then you get to, like, twists similar to that again. You're like, oh, they've kind of done this already. So, you know, they're trying to evolve, and they're not hitting the same fans that liked it before by being ballsy. But I still dig it. Is there anything else we were going to talk about this week?
You were going to talk about... I keep wanting to call it Red Sun. I don't know why it's doing that in my mind.
Oh, Run.
We're
going to
talk about... yeah.
Run does not develop very much.
Oh, serious? Is it just more of them and their ex-lover banter?
There's no thriller element yet. There's making each other jealous, like, and yelling at each other and stuff. And they do kiss in the episode called Kiss.
But yay!
It's just all on a train still. He's finding out more about the husband.
Oh, what's up with the husband?
I mean, he's like, when he picks up her phone in the last episode, he sees that she has a family. So he, like, Facebook searches her, and then Facebook searches the husband. And, like, she calls the husband in the second episode, and she's like, I'll be home in a week. And he's like, a week? But, like, you can tell he's kind of an asshole, where he's like, but you know I play golf every weekend. And he's like, who's going to pick up the kids? And she's like, I'll be home in a week.
God.
And he's played by one of the Mad Men actors.
Oh, so you have, like, a already point of reference to him being a dickhead, basically?
Yeah. I mean, he's not Don Draper, but he's just one of those guys. And you're like, okay. He's actually one of the more likable guys on Mad Men, but they're all douchebags.
Yeah, to like, some degree. Like, nobody walked away from that, except the kids walked away from
like
that, not an asshole.
He's the schlubby guy from... Mad Men. But and then, like, she goes into... They almost have sex, but he said something. Well, he sees her C-section scar, and then, like, he says something, and then they don't have sex, and then she grabs some random guy to have sex with, and he's like, oh, you're just trying to get jealous, make him jealous? What do you... Like... Like, we can just sit in here and pretend. And then he's like, well, what would you do to me? And he, like, describes a super sexy situation.
Wait, she grabbed a rando guy to
like
make
at
the
bar.
Guy she wants to cheat on her husband with jealous.
Yes, a rando at the bar. Because the whole point, you know, is they met up and stuff.
Right.
She's like, well, watch, I'm going to go pick up this guy. Will that make you angry? And he's like, no, fine, do it. You know, it's that kind of stupid.
God.
Flirty back and forth stuff. It's still well done. It's just
she
not
sees
much-
her naked and it goes, ugh, because she has a C-section.
That's not scar. Why. I can't remember why they stop. But he does see, there is a moment where he sees the C-section and scar. But I don't know. I can't remember why they fought the first. It's more of the same. I'm waiting for, like, there to be a killer on the train where the husband goes crazy, chases them down or something. Right now, it's still just two adults trying to flirt together who haven't seen each other in, like, 20 years.
Okay, then I will listen to your updates, and as soon as the thriller part comes in, I will start at that episode. Kind of how, like, I like to skip pilots. I hate watching pilots. So this apparently just has, like, a really long pilot, and I'll just skip all that shit.
Or somehow they consider this already a thriller, in which case it is miscategorized.
Who finds that shit? Who finds that thrilling?
I don't know. There's a train. It moves pretty fast. It's basically the Liam Neeson movies if there's a train in it.
Is there a person holding a bomb on the train? Or is,
not that we're aware of.
Is fucking Ethan Hunt on top of it?
Not that I'm aware of.
That'd be neat.
It could be like maybe like one of them's a host or some shit. I don't know. It's HBO.
Could you imagine the bait and switch if it never gets any more like thrilling than this?
I don't know if it. I don't know. I don't know if it will. It might just be a straight up romance of people bickering and then and not ending up together or something probably.
You know what? I can't even sit here and say I'm not into it because I really like Fleabag. I mean, it was
like,
a very untraditional romance thing, but there was still all these love angles and her like. So you know what it is? Maybe because her stuff was more realistic and these two people are like childish 80s people. Like it's like rom-coms from the 80s. Like that's what it reminded me of with that first episode.
Maybe.
But, yeah. Down to like when you telling me they're gonna make her husband into an asshole to justify her being with this other guy, like that's super 80s rom-com trope, or maybe 90s.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still waiting for it to pick up.
Well, let me know.
I guess sounds like it's been a disappointing week in watching stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed those Westworld episodes. Those are super satisfying. I'll probably go back and watch them again.
That's good. That's good. I got Westworld tonight. Anything else we want to talk about besides our segment?
Anything coming out?
I don't think
anything
so.
Being sent to video. Well, not. Definition of out.
There's a few.
Anything
movies,
coming in?
I can't remember all of them. There are several movies this week that were theatrical releases that are now digital releases, including. I see the trailer for it all the time. Did you ever see the trailer? Like I saw it on Birds of Prey and The Gentlemen and like even 1917. There was a Kumail trailer at theaters. Where he's like with a black actress and they're like dating and stuff. Then someone borrows their car and runs someone over with their car. And like then they're on the run. That's going straight to Netflix now. That was a theatrical release.
Oh, wow.
It actually looks like a movie I would have seen at theaters. It'll be on Netflix in May, I think.
Okay.
So it's a Kumail. I can't remember who the actress is. Like just date comedy. You know, one of those date comedies where suddenly it becomes like a murder mystery type R-rated thing. So Alex, I can't remember. A few other movies got the same treatment. Because you can tell that obviously they're saving the big titles, but since we don't know when movie theaters are going to open, studios are being more and more willing to just let it come out on VOD or even put it out for, or let Netflix buy it, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think we're seeing that effect more. I thought maybe we were past that, but the fact that I saw that was going to be on Netflix, and I was like, I think I even messaged Jammer. I'm like, did I not see this trailer at theaters multiple times? You watch the same movies as me. And he was like, yeah, I saw the trailer at theaters. I'm like, okay.
It's not sounding familiar to me. You know, and I'm glad it's kind of coming out this way, that like the movies that can be released in or being released in. And well, you know what? Probably the only thing that would make this not okay is if a bunch of movie theaters go bankrupt before we can use them. Like, that wouldn't, like, not having a movie to put it in wouldn't be, like, obviously wouldn't make this work. But honestly, I think people are, once everything opens up and the virus is under control, people are going to be so anxious to get out of their houses that going to movies, even if they're leaving their house to go in somewhere else, I don't think, like, the movie industry is going to suffer just because people are going to get used to watching movies inside, because there are just a whole bunch of extroverts that just are banging their head against the wall trying to get outside somewhere.
Yeah, I definitely think the industry will bounce back, depending which chains survive being closed completely.
Right, that's the big thing. Who's going to be able to hold it together until everything is okay? However long that takes.
I think, is it Georgia, I think, wants to open movie theaters next week or something, and a lot of other stuff.
Georgia.
And then I don't remember. I think it's Georgia. And then
it is, because people were calling the governor, like, hey, can we do a tour of the governor's mansion? And like, no, it's closed because of the pandemic. Really? How does that work? So yeah, no, it was definitely Georgia.
The AMC and Regal are like, yeah, we'll open up when there are movies from studios to show. Well, they've all been delayed.
If I had any.
Like, if Georgia's the only state with open movie theaters and the rest of the world's still mostly closed down, the movie theater's not going to be like, oh, let's move Black Widow back up for Georgia's release, you know?
It'll be Tyler Perry movies, because he's like, he has his studio in Georgia. It'll be all Tyler Perry all the time. Oh my God, those poor Georgians.
They could do something like that. That's what, I don't remember if China ever did it or not. China was saying they were going to reopen their theaters and they were going to start playing all four Avengers movies in Avatar.
Wow. Yeah, well, I guess if you want to pull in people, pull in the movies that made the most money in the world. But I mean, I've already seen Avengers on my own TV like 8 times since last year. Still cry at the end. Yep.
I do every time. Too. At the end of all of them.
Anyway, cool. Yeah, so we have that to look forward to. I'll see if I can find the name so I'll know what I'm looking forward to, but that sounds interesting.
I can't remember the name of the movie. Yeah, sorry. It's very similar.
I mean, it can't different. Be that many. I mean, I'm sure it's already advertising on iTunes or something. So
it doesn't look too terribly undifferent from Stuber, Kumail's last comedy, but it's another on the run movie, I guess.
Well, you know, my standards are pretty low now, so, you know.
Yeah, we just watched Extraction.
I mean, I remember turning my nose up at Stuber, and I still haven't seen it, but this is different. And he seems like I watched his some YouTube thing, look in my gym in my refrigerator or some shit, and he seems like a really humble dude. He just seems like a really nice guy. So.
Oh, he's cool. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I've been following him on podcasts.
As far as you can see on TV from his demeanor, he seems like a very, like, kind of down-to-earth person. So that makes me more in, like, oh, you know what? I will check out his stuff, even though I'm not really a fan of his comedy too much. He was funny in MIB. He was the funny thing in MIB. So, yeah.
He was the funny brown sidekick in Men in Black.
God. Wasn't he purple or green? No,
he
wasn't.
But he's Indian.
he
could have been in the Thor movie. Why didn't Chris Hemsworth get him a gig?
As like black sidekick,
number one.
Brown sidekick.
No, like,
because all the brown sidekick slots were already full. Literally. They all have a brown. So who doesn't have a brown sidekick? Oh, fuck. I was about to say Doctor Strange, but he has fucking Wong.
Yeah. That guy's a bad guy now, but yeah.
Wong? Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, fucking, remember the other guy was like his sidekick client, too.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. I can never pronounce his name.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah. If that's pronounced correctly, he's dope. I would never pronounce that. I have no idea.
Black Panther has a white sidekick.
Like, that's true. No. They flipped it up.
So we're off track. Yeah, that's all I have.
All right. What have you we'll do our last segment, Breaking Bits and Bites, or what have you been watching besides the stuff we already talked about? Anything? Is Westworld taking up all your time?
I watched a couple of movies. I started a couple of horror movies. One of them was just so dumb. Like I know there's such a thing as horror movie decisions, but even as a horror movie, those decisions were really stupid. What is it called? I want to say it's called Matriarch, possibly. I didn't even finish it because their seasons, I mean, their decisions were so ridiculous. Maybe I should talk. I should say what it's about. So there's a couple, and it's in England. And there's a couple, and there's a guy, and his wife is pregnant, and they wreck their car, and they're in the middle of nowhere, in like English countryside nowhere. And they go up to this house where the guy who owns the house is super, it's basically like British Texas Chainsaw Massacre, except the protagonist couple isn't smart enough to see that these people are creepy and that they would be better off just walking the fuck off. And so it's just one idiot decision by them after another, to the point they're like, you know what, you kind of deserve everything that's coming to you. And then I watched the other night, I watched The Black Coat's Daughter, which is really good. So that's actually a really good horror movie, even though What's it has it a kind of The Black Coat's Daughter. So it's an A24 movie.
Yeah.
And it's an A24 movie that isn't weird. It's very I know. It's very straightforward. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of a basic, you know, devil plot, Satan kind of thing with Christian overtones. Those kind of horror movies are, you know, a dime a dozen. But this one was still like, it was very beautifully shot. It, you know, the acting was good. So yeah, that was a good movie.
Did you read any more? God, what are they called? Books?
I did. Those things. Yes. I finished the audiobook, the one I told you about, Wasteland Stories of the Apocalypse. So just pleased with that book that I wanted to like tweet at Netflix that this needs some sort of anthology adaptation. Especially now, since people are already like watching Outbreak and Contagion. Like, this would be a perfect thing to do, like their almost like their I always want to call it Love, Sex, and Robots. It's Love, Death, and Robots. Because it had all those titties in them. So Love, Death, and Robots. That kind of thing where you have these like 10 to 20 minute shorts.
Yeah.
It would be perfect for that. It was a great book. And then I got some stuff by Octavia E. Butler. And I'm going to start that stuff. I started one already. She has a short story book. Or she was a prolific sci-fi writer. But I started with a short story book. What else? I think that was that it? Oh, I rented Bad Boys 3. I just haven't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. King Supers, and I was like, maybe I should rent that. I do want to see it. I should watch the second one first, but I want to see what all the fuss was about with Jonesy.
Yeah,
emotional moments.
Probably wouldn't have cared about it had he not given it such a glowing recommendation. I want to see like with it. Well, actually, I heard it was pretty positively received overall.
Yeah, actually, I probably wouldn't rent it, but the minute it's free, like on HBO, I definitely want to see it because of our conversation on the show.
So that's on the agenda. But yeah, I looked into some books. I suck ass at staying off Twitter. That lasted for like a day and a half. But, you know, I'm working on it. Still working on it. People relapse. Addicts relapse. It's part of it. It's part of the process. So I'll just have to try it again.
I did end up watching most of Waco. I'm just not done with it yet.
Oh, did it get better?
Yeah, actually, I'm really into it. I'm a whole episode away. It was from people don't know about it. I thought it was a new Netflix show, but it's actually from Paramount TV from 2 years ago. And, Michael Shannon plays the negotiator, FBI negotiator. And actually, I do recognize the actor. What's the name of the guy? The main guy? The bad guy? Cult leader?
David Koresh?
Yeah, him. He's actually played by Taylor Kitsch, who I didn't recognize him at first. So I'm like, oh, I remember that guy who's in a bunch of flop Disney movies and doesn't have a career now.
Oh, my gosh.
He was like John Carter from Mars and stuff.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And like Battleship and stuff, I think. Like, he had two summers of like blockbuster films that flopped.
Was he first? Gambit?
Yes, he was also Gambit. That guy.
Yeah.
In X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Maybe that had...
That probably... All those things that I just mentioned had something to do with it.
That was not a good movie. That movie didn't help anybody. Except Hugh Jackman. Apparently he's bulletproof as Wolverine. It doesn't matter what fucking shit he did as Wolverine.
It's true. But yeah, it's actually really good. I didn't realize I recognized the main star until I was watching like the closing credits. I'm like, damn, he's gotten a lot older and like lost a lot of weight.
And they seem to do a good job. He was like under all that shaggy hair and that shaggy kind of facial hair with the glasses. Like,
yeah,
he looked pretty much like, I mean, I haven't looked up what David Koresh looks like in a long time, but what I remember from the news many years ago, that's a pretty good like likeness.
And he's quite a bit older. So he would have been like in John Carpenter. Like, what, 7 years ago almost at this point, if not more?
Oh, yeah. How old is he?
So he looks a lot older and he's a lot skinnier. So I think it really sells the look, and I'm sure you probably lost the weight for the.
He's not that old.
Well, I mean, well, he's a lot older than he was. Because he was like in his 20s back then, and now he's like, yeah.
Actually, I didn't realize fucking Wolverine was that old.
Yeah, Origins is over 10 years old.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so he was in his like mid to late 20s.
Yes. But yeah, that's what I was watching. That's basically what I've been watching besides all the stuff we talked about. Anything else to add to this show?
I have a question about it. Is it even-handed, or are they painting the FBI as the villains, or are they painting him as a maniacal, whatever, cult guy? Like, what would you say it leans more towards? Because I don't think anybody came out looking good in that situation.
Michael Shannon, the only agent who so far comes out looking good, because, you know, he's the guy trying to fix things, mm-hmm. not just charge them. Like, he's always one like, no, like, let's do this for them and we'll get something, you know, he's the negotiator.
Yeah.
Who's usually the good guy in those kind of movies. And then, like, Denzel Washington in that Spike Lee joint.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the other actor who's in it. Oh, Clive Owen's like in the bank.
Oh!
Inside Man.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, you know, that kind of stereotypical, I mean, it's based on a true story, but that kind of stereotypical hero relationship. Yeah. And then some of them are pretty crazy inside. And, you know, at some points, the main cult guy seems like he's reasonable. Other points, he just seems crazy. But you relate more to some of the other people on the inside more than you relate to him.
Yeah.
So it's showing good people on both sides. It's just not, it's not saying the main FBI guy or the main cult guy are the good guys.
Okay, so it's pretty even-handed then.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
And it brings in the media and how, like, you know, there's like a conservative media keeps talking about how, like, hey, they're not doing anything illegal over there, and like
besides raping kids.
Yeah. No, exactly. One guy even explains that. Like, you know, because he's like, there's a guy who you keep hearing across the episodes who's like, yeah, they're getting in trouble for modifying their guns into like semi or automatics, but for a $20 permit, you're allowed to do that. Or he brings up the kid thing and he's like, as long as the mom okay with it, then it's
people in
the great state of Texas. It's always in the great state of Texas. So yeah, it's good because it makes you feel like you just the emotion you just erupted.
Crazy pills.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. It made me laugh, Tom.
No, it was more of a just, oh God, that's the world we live in.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Inspiration snorts. Nope, that's all I got.
All right. I guess as long as we both continue to survive the apocalypse, we'll see you next week on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. I'm at @LRM_Nick on Twitter. Tanya, where can the good people find you?
For the rest of my days walking this earth, you can reach me at tanya@lrmonline.com. If you know what that Indian movie I was talking about, yeah, let me know.
Please, we're both curious.
Yeah.
And if you can name the movie with the couple in the British house or whatever.
No, it's probably in your Hulu feed as a recommendation right now if you like anything like horror. And I would say watch it just to be annoyed.
Sounds like a good recommendation to me. We got many other shows here, of course. They're all on the lrmonline.com. I don't feel like listening. I'm all low energy today. So I guess with that, hasta lasagna.